UK Wine Show, show number 70, Tim Howe on wine marketing. G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 70 for the 28th of September 2007. My name's Chris Scott. And this week, we're continuing our look at wine retailers. We're going to be talking with Tim Howe, the UK's largest wine retailer, Majestic. Majestic pioneered the idea of wine warehousing in the UK, and now with 134 stores, they are without the top specialist wine retailer in the UK. Majestic compete with both the supermarkets and the small boutique players, and we'll be finding out from Tim Howe, the CEO of Majestic, how they do that. But before we get into that, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. In the news this week, a wine merchant shuts up shop and an OAP gets the hump with checkout staff. But first, there's a survey that's carried out by Wine Intelligence, finding that Bordeaux is the world's best-known wine region, followed by Champagne and Chianti. The survey of 11,000 wine consumers across 11 countries showed, not surprisingly, that Bordeaux ranks first in 8 of the 11 countries. The UK follows the trend with Bordeaux top, followed by Champagne and then Burgundy. The survey measured awareness and purchase of 28 regions and appellations, and interestingly, while Chablis has high awareness, this isn't necessarily matched by sales from the region. Next up, long-established wine merchant and wine bar chain Corney & Barrow has shut its London shop in Notting Hill. They're blaming high rent increases on the high street, coupled with the effect of the extended congestion zone and difficult trading conditions. Corney & Barrow still has a retail outlet in Newmarket where they run their sales operations and has 12 successful city wine bars which have just posted record results. Finally this week, a 72-year-old man was asked by checkout staff at Morrison's if he was old enough to buy wine. The pensioner was so amazed at having to prove he was over 21, he asked to see the manager. When the Morrison's manager backed up the staff's request, Tony Rules left his trolley full of shopping and took his custom to Sainsbury's. While others might have seen the funny side, Mr. Rules said he was offended at being asked such a ridiculous question. The supermarkets say they take a responsible attitude to selling alcohol and require staff to ask anyone purchasing alcohol to confirm they're over 21. I don't know about you, Chris, but I can't remember the last time I was asked for ID. Okay, that's it this week, but 10 years ago in 1997, the Paul Masson carafe returned to the supermarket shelves. Apparently, the carafe was withdrawn from sale in 1985, only 3 years after launch, due to its poor sales. Despite the aggressive marketing push at the time, people who bought Masson were reusing the carafe but not buying the wine again. These days you can buy it online at Tesco for £3.59 for a 750ml carafe, but you have to buy it in cases of six. Don't forget you can get more detail on these news stories on the news homepage of our website, 3050.co.uk. That's all from me this week. Back to you, Chris.
Cheers, Jane. Well, Corney & Barrow shutting up shop in London. It sees another fine wine outlet gone. I suppose with 12 wine bars, they're probably more like a pub chain these days. I wonder what the breakdown is between their wine sales and their bar sales. But given that new merchants such as Phil Glass and Swigert and Majestic are still looking to open new stores in London, I wonder why they just didn't move to new locations. Perhaps wine retailing is not what they're into. It's tough being a wine merchant with margins around 30, sometimes as high as 35. 40% for the big guys, but that's still not enough when you're competing against clothes shops with 100% markup and paying the same rents. The other story, good old Morrison's for sticking to their guns. Fair enough, 72-year-old is unlikely to be mistaken for a youth. But if you get ID, then produce it. I got ID'd about a year ago in New Zealand, and I was absolutely stoked. I'm not a youth at tender age of 36, and once I got over the surprise, I produced an ID, and all was sweet. Let's face it, Tony, you should take it as a bit of flattery. When I lived in Seattle, I had to take my passport everywhere I wanted to go for a beer. Bit dangerous because I was flying internationally a lot, and if I'd lost my passport, it wouldn't have been a disaster. But these are what you do. Tony Rails, you're a grumpy old man. Get with the program. Morrison's only being careful, and a policy of asking for ID from everybody buying alcohol I can live with. Next up, we have the interview with Tim Howe. Hi, I'm here with Tim Howe, CEO of Majestic Wines. This week we're going to be talking about Majestic's positioning and marketing. How are you, Tim?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent. Might as well crack on straight into it. How many stores have you got?
We've currently in the United Kingdom got 135 stores, and we've got three in Northern France.
And do they all sell basically the same range of wines, or do you change the...
Yeah, the range in France, if we deal with that one first quickly, is slightly more limited, tends to be slightly more focused on perhaps what I would call the more everyday wines, and that really is quite simply because duty in this country is a flat figure. The reason that people go to France is to save money. Why shouldn't they?
Yeah,
let's
sure.
go stuff the Chancellor. It's always a good sport. the more the better as far as we're concerned in terms of our sales in Calais. High time we had duty harmonisation across Europe, isn't it, really? But anyway, leaving that one on one side.
Yeah.
because the duty is a flat figure, the saving and the percentage saving on wines is clearly greater in the everyday wines than it is on the more expensive wines, where it's less worthwhile bothering to make the trip, because if you're saving a pound on a wine at 20 quid, it's very different saving, well, probably £1.50. It's very different saving £1.50 on a bottle of wine costing 4 quid.
Isn't the VAT a lot cheaper in France as well?
No, the VAT's more, actually. It's 19.6%.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was 5% for some reason. I don't know why. Okay, so you're landing up with... It makes sense then. I noticed that a lot of the wines in your Calais stores were like more the branded style of wines.
Yeah, I think perhaps we need to reflect on the acquisition of the business we brought a few years ago in France, which was a much more broader based mass market business, reflecting the people travelling to Calais at that point to save duty.
Mm-hmm.
What we've seen really as we've increasingly brought some of the Majestic strengths to the business actually is that increasingly the customers are ordering before they visit France, and indeed over a third of our sales now are people who pre-order on either over the telephone or on the website in the United Kingdom. And going hand in hand with that, we are seeing a considerable increase in the average bottle price sold, and the range in France getting much more like the UK range, as we're attracting more wine savvy consumers who are keen on those aspects of the Majestic range that move away from the brands, because brands aren't really what Majestic's about in the UK.
Yeah. No.
They're a very important part of what we sell, but the real success of Majestic in the UK is having a much more interesting and broader range from a wide variety of growers than it is from selling brands.
Just on that, making orders in the UK and then heading off to Calais to pick it up, or you've got three sites, you said.
Yeah, we've got one in Cherbourg and two in effectively in Calais. Well, one is in Coquel as it is, but that's where you come out of the tunnel in Calais.
Okay.
The other one is near the ferry port in Calais.
Okay, that's fair enough. Do you just turn up and there's a pallet of wine sitting there ready for you just to load in the
Yeah, bottle? I mean, if you've got a big enough car, we'll give you two pallets. it would be on a trolley waiting for you.
Oh, excellent.
And we'd obviously like to sell you something else while you're there, but no, it's all pre-ordered, pre-arranged. We'll confirm whether we've got everything you want, and you can go out to lunch.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's quite a nice service, isn't it? I've always thought that was a nice
In fact, we're even more generous than that, because we spend... spend more than 300, which perhaps isn't difficult when you're making that type of trip.
Yeah,
we'll pay for the ferry crossing as well.
Oh, really? Oh, that is good. Oh, I might have to go and buy some wine out there next time. So you've got your stores in Calais, which meet a particular market. Do you have any difference in the formats around the UK in terms of your stores?
Yeah, I guess the biggest difference in format is that. Really starting in central London, not that many years ago now, and particularly in Mayfair, South Kensington and St John's Wood, and you can guess they're relatively affluent areas, we started selling wines at much higher price points than we had previously done, and indeed sell wines into several hundreds of pounds. Not that many, but that just shows what we can achieve.
Yeah.
And so really what we learned from those stores was that we were quite capable of selling more expensive wines, and really, I mean, wines at £20 and above.
Yep.
And based on that success and looking at other relatively more wealthy catchment areas, we've been introducing a limited range of what we call fine wines into those stores, and would typically be putting perhaps 80 of fine wines into a store. We opened a new store, a resited store in Chester on Friday, where I was, and actually we're just refitting our store in Wilmslow, but both affluent parts of the Northwest.
Yep.
And both of those stores will have a range of fine wines, selling typical selling price probably about £30, which wouldn't for instance yet be somebody who lives in Preston is now going to be upset with me, but aren't currently in our Preston or Kendal stores.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I live in Twickenham, and there's...
Okay, well, Twickenham is due for a major refit in the late summer. And perhaps actually there's a very important point that I should make with this. We really are not putting the more expensive fine wines into stores unless we are either air conditioning the whole store or putting in a glass segmented section which is air conditioned. And in fact, another store near you, Richmond, has just that and sells a lot of fine wine already. Wait till the autumn and Twickenham will have the full fine wine proposition as well.
Excellent. I'll be able to get some of the wines I want. I almost bought some Penfolds Grange from you a while ago, but I bought it somewhere else instead because it was easier to get to. what sort of person buys in your stores? You've obviously got some very well-to-do customers.
Yes, we have, but that would be wrong to focus exclusively on that point. We have some 400,000 customers who shop with us at least once during the last 12 months, mm-hmm. Which, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, suggests a fairly broad customer base.
Yeah.
Because we ask people to buy, that people buy a minimum of 12 bottles of wine, we are inevitably selling to people who have an interest in wine that means that that's a quantity that they're quite happy with.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I mean, our range starts at £2.99 and goes up to several hundred pounds. And our clear position is to offer a great range backed by a great customer service to appeal to, you know, as many people who are essentially interested in wine. Mm-hmm. I guess that's really the criteria, as we can find.
You've got one of the highest average price points on the high street. I think you always come out, you don't like being called the high street, but you've got one of the highest average price points for a retail format.
In terms of bottle price?
Bottle price,
yes.
Yeah.
We're now just above £5.70 in terms of our still wine bottle price.
Which
compares with the market, which is just over £4. So yeah.
So that means what, 12 bottles? So an average case for you is £60, something like that.
Well, the average spend in Majestic is £123.
How is it? 123. How does it work out? That means that and it's 12 bottles. That works out an average of.
Well, that means they're buying more than 12 bottles.
Oh, at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're coming in. They're buying several cases.
Well, the average is actually about 18, 19 bottles. Then we might sell some beer, we might sell some spirits, and actually we're a great place to buy water because if you're looking at bulky purchases, given that we can either deliver free or help to load the car, then why not buy it all when you're at Majestic?
True. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. In terms of your range of wines, I had a look on your website, and I must admit, I made a wee mistake. I hadn't realised you had three websites. I saw the one for France, and I saw your normal wine website, but you've got a fine wine website as well, which is separate to the other two, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and that is partly because the fine wines aren't in all the stores, and we put the full range of fine wines that are available in St John's Wood on that part of the section. And if people want to order 12, then we'll deliver free to anywhere in the United Kingdom via one of our stores from the stock in St John's Wood. But to put those fine wines in. And to let people assume they're part of a mixed case would be, let's put it this way, pretty annoying to a customer who thought they were going to be able to order one bottle as part of a mixed case, which is something we couldn't fulfil. So that's why it's shown separately.
Makes sense. Okay, that's fair enough. Looking at the wines in your normal stores, though, so these are the wines that you stock all over the UK.
Yeah.
I've got a... You know, we're called the UK Wine Show because we're into UK wine. And I notice you guys don't seem to sell any English wine. Is that true?
We don't have a vendetta against UK wine. If someone's out there and has got some wine that really does demonstrate quality and value, please come and talk to us.
Yeah.
But we find it really hard work to find that either in still or in sparkling. And I have to say that currently we're seeing price increases on English sparkling wine that...
Yeah,
I frankly think are unjustifiable in the face of champagne pricing, and I think it's probably time that UK producers got real.
Yeah, I think those who aren't putting their prices up, like Ridgeview, it's very hard to get hold of their wine because they're obviously sold out before they've realised that they're, you know.
Well, we stock Ridgeview.
You do stock it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it on
there. But it doesn't sell.
It doesn't sell?
No.
Oh, I think it's a fantastic wine. Interesting.
Well, it would sell at the right price.
True. It's all about price, isn't it? Okay, you got...
Well, it's about price and quality, and you need to compare what you're offering. I just really don't believe that people are so obsessed about buying things from the UK that they will sacrifice a clear view of quality and value.
Yeah, I don't know. I quite like English sparkling wine. I think it holds up quite nicely against champagne. I suppose it just depends on what you like and the styles you like. So
we would love to sell it, and if you can convince UK consumers that it's worth the price, we would be delighted.
Yeah, I think pricing is always a tricky one. We used to show a lot of Chapadam Rosé, and when it first released at $6.99 for a rosé, it sold amazingly well, you know. And then they ran out of stock, so they put the price up to $9.99. And we stopped selling it. It was just turn the tap off immediately.
I think that proves my point. You need a long-run, consistent marketing program backed by long-run, consistent pricing to build a consumer market.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. You've other wines you've got, in your normal stores anyway, you've got about 38 bottles and 38 different run lines of New Zealand wine. The top one was about $16.99. 57 Australian wines only at $14.99 for their top-selling wine. And your Bordeaux, you had 27 at up to about $19.99. But you differentiate to find wines at around £20, don't you?
Yeah, we do, So you'll find Australian. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's easy to sell non-French wines at £20 and above. I mean, the volumes we sell are very, very small.
There's not a lot of New Zealand stuff at above £20 anyway, except for maybe some top-end Otago Pinot.
No, I think I think there's a real point of difference there, and potentially an ability to sell wines. So yeah, I mean that's something I'm sure we'll be doing more of. Pinot Noir is at any price point is the I don't know whether this is sideways or not, but it is where the action is really.
Yeah, there are some nice grape varieties out there besides Pinot Noir, but it does get a lot.
Well, and curiously, of course, Merlot is probably another one that's very popular at the moment. I think what we're seeing is a fairly consistent move away from the Australian, in particular, as a style, full-bodied red wines.
Oh, okay. The Shirazes and the Cabernets. Yeah. Okay, there's been a bit of talk in the press recently about lower alcohol wines.
There's an element there of that, but it's more driven by the style. My comment is more driven by style. And I you can see it with tremendous growth coming out of Spain, for instance.
Yeah.
But again, lighter styles.
All right. So you've got three websites as well, and you've got four stores in the UK and you've got stores in France. You had a wee dabble in America, well, before your time. Do you guys plan any overseas expansion?
No.
You're going to see yourselves purely in the UK for the next...
Yeah, we do, and it's not because we don't think about it. It's because there's huge potential to take a much greater share of the UK market. As we were saying earlier, we've only got 135 stores. We'd like to have 200. We've got 3% of the UK wine market. We intend to have 5% of the UK wine market. And there is real opportunity at all levels to gain share in what is also a growing market.
What do you think is your key points of difference compared to other players?
Well, the most significant point of difference, because at the end of the day, the most significant competition is the supermarkets, is that we can provide knowledgeable staff giving advice, whereas clearly in a self-service supermarket environment, you can't. And we back that up. Firstly, nearly all our staff are graduates. Don't have to be, but that's a great place to recruit. Because we really want to invest in training and particularly in wine knowledge. And we're very proud that 32%, I think that's the right number, of our managers and assistant managers have or are studying for the Wine and Spirit Education Trust diploma. That is an unmatched position in the UK retail sector.
So it's staff knowledge, really.
the number one reason why our customers come to Majestic is it's not just knowledge. We've got some really enthusiastic, energetic staff with a real passion for wine. You have to underpin that with knowledge, but we don't want stuffy, knowledgeable people. We want enthusiastic people who want to share that knowledge.
The staff always seem quite young at a Majestic when I've been there. Is that just because I've gone to certain stores, or is it...
No, I'm not allowed to comment on age because that's now against the law.
Dan almost got you.
But if you look at typical people joining Majestic, they will be graduates joining us from university.
Okay.
And we are frequently the first place that people join the wine industry, and indeed in many ways becoming... which is absolutely fine, a tremendous place for people to start in the wine industry and move on into other parts of the wine industry. And it's always a joy to see people who've come through Majestic working in other parts of the industry.
Yeah, sure. So it's also good for you guys as well, because if they take on, whether they go into journalism or something like that, they'll always have a nice warm feel towards Majestic.
Well, we'd certainly hope so. It'd be wrong of me to think that everyone has thought that we were the greatest employer in the world, but we really try hard to make sure that that people get a lot out of their time at Majestic and hopefully enjoy their time. Huge amount of effort on tastings, a lot of overseas trips, and wine is a great product to be selling, isn't it?
People talk about two of your key reasons for success, and comment about this as you will. One is your staff training. Ian Harris, WCT, commented particularly about that to me when we did an interview with him. The other one is you seem to have quite a short arms, deep pockets sort of thing. You keep an eye on the bottom line quite closely in terms of managing your costs. Would you say that's a fair comment?
Yes, I'm not sure I'm going to agree to a mean streak, if that's what you're saying.
Just like shorthand, that's all.
Yeah, on the cost side, we're very proud of the fact that we think we purchase aggressively. We cut as much cost as we can do out of the supply route. We run a very tightly run head office and distribution structure, and we can afford to do that because we've got very good systems and because the stock is held in our retail units, and those stores themselves are, relative to the high street, relatively low cost sites in terms of pounds per square foot.
Yeah.
So the whole business is driven on keeping cost out, so that not only can we provide staff with really great knowledge and invest in their training, but also can operate at price points that run alongside the supermarkets.
Yep.
And I think the real challenge to high street operators is, how can you persuade a consumer to pay more money than they're going to pay in a supermarket? And as a business, we don't believe you can.
Okay, so do you consider your pricing...
Or that you should, actually.
Do you consider your pricing like for like to be in line with the supermarkets?
Yeah, over a long period, yes, I do. Supermarkets inevitably have deep cut short-term promotions. Yeah. So do we some of the time. We tend to style our promotional periods over much longer periods because the average purchase frequency at Majestic is less.
Yeah.
People, because of the nature we sell on the 12 bottles, and people planning events, they like certainty in pricing. So we'll tend to fix our summer promotions, for instance, from the beginning of May through to the end of August. But within that, also add some short-term promotions as well.
Just on that, your offers seem to be at the moment anyway, mixed case of 12, obviously, buy to save a certain amount, whether it's a cash amount or a percentage.
Yeah.
Is that a standard format of discounting for you guys, or is it?
Yes, tends. Would be quite typical, so that we will throughout the year focus on a number of different wine regions or wine countries and perhaps offer a 20% discount. Currently Italy is on a 20% discount, so if you buy two or more Italian wines, you'll get the 20% discount. That allows us to bring in new lines and to focus promotions and tastings, which are very important, and indeed our staff and their knowledge on particular areas at a particular time.
Yeah. Okay. Who funds that? Is it because if you're doing it over Italy, usually with supermarkets, they get the suppliers to fund all their discounts?
Yeah, we don't like paying for discounts.
Okay. But it must be quite hard if you're going to do a promotion on Italy, because you must have multiple suppliers for Italy.
Yeah, which is why you need to plan these things and work on them and explain the benefits. And indeed, where at all possible, work with to gain extra publicity with the wine promotion boards. Okay. Not in the case of Italy, actually, but in a lot of areas, some good promotion from wine promotion boards.
What are the... We touched on your product range earlier. With 135 stores in the UK, as you grow, the wines that you can show, you must be needing to go to bigger and bigger wineries and or suppliers. Do you find that your range is getting more and more into more the generic suppliers? Or how can you maintain niche producers or small producers within a portfolio if you've got a stock... 135 stores, and you could take all their stock just to put a couple of cases in every store?
I would say there are two answers to that. One is that not every product goes to every store, and where we get a small quantity, particularly of wines at £10 and above, we will perhaps not put them into every store, either because we don't think every store will sell them or because there simply isn't enough. Yeah. And the one thing we shouldn't do is lose the opportunity to buy those interesting small parcels because we become bigger.
Is that going to your fine wine range? Or
No. We've got several classifications. It would go into the top 50 stores. Many of those would be the fine wine stores, yes, but not the fine wine range as such. The other thing to do is that you simply need to find more producers and recognise that those wines won't be available for very long. Mm-hmm. And our view is that a continually changing range is the right thing for us to be doing.
I see.
Now, that does frustrate some consumers, because when they come back, they might like to buy the same wine again. But, they can't have it both always. And providing we've got really knowledgeable staff who understand what one was like and what the next equivalent wine is right, then we believe firmly that our consumers get better value by us continuing to buy from those smaller and interesting growers, whilst recognising that nobody is going to get continuity of supply for 12 months.
Okay, so it's continuity of supply you sacrifice in terms
of being
able to supply.
It is, yes.
That's a good answer. I couldn't work out how you managed to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So does that mean that you might have three or four Alsace producers that you use over...
Perhaps the Loire would be a better example, where we've got a lot of different Sancerre and Perfumé producers.
Okay.
And so we'll work out over a year how much we require, and then through the year we'll, obviously the seasons and all sorts of things fitted in with this, but essentially we'll work on allocations that are available to us from a number of growers.
Okay, Tim, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Tim. Majestics are one of the few specialist retailers who compete with the supermarkets. Listening to Tim and Mike Rogers from last week, and Justin Howard's need from Waitrose, Tim sounds like he's more of a supermarket than a boutique. But they are a wine specialist who does very well at selling wine, with innovations in terms of stores in Calais, and they do appear to be looking at fine wine retailing. However, Waitrose and many of the other supermarkets are already going down this route as well. Mike Rogers, from Phil Glass and Swigert, does not appear to be too worried, but this move into fine wine from the really big players may result in another wave of consolidation. Let's hope not. Given the almost limitless amounts of wine in the world, it would be a real shame with only a few started to appear in the UK, because there were only a few mega stores to supply them with. I do like how Majestic do rotate some of their small producers by having a number of suppliers from a region, and Waitrose through their sourcing locally I thought was quite good as well. I think in the last three podcasts we've seen three different wine retailers who are all doing very well. I've enjoyed interviewing them, and I hope you've enjoyed listening. Our poll has finally come to a close. The results are in, and the question was, if you recall, is should calories and alcohol units be displayed on the front of bottles? The majority was just the alcohol units at 39%. But alcohol and calorie units came in a close 7 at 37%. And given it's not the status quo, that might imply that it could be quite popular if it ever was introduced. Just calories alone, 2%. And neither, some people didn't want either, and that was 23%, quite surprisingly high for there. I was a bit surprised about neither being used. I really like the idea of alcohol units on wine bottles and beer bottles. Next week, we're going to be talking with Neil Martin. Neil used to be a blogger, but now he's been snapped up by Robert Parker to write for his robertparker.com. If you're not sure who Robert Parker is, he's a very famous American wino. So we'll be talking to Neil about his adventure in the wine writing world. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott, and the news is researched by Sandra Clement. To listen to other shows, visit www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.